Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a beautiful sound. 12:15, we're just about 3 hours away from Louisville and Creighton starting things off in the NCAA tournament, the men's tournament at least. Talk more about it. It's Jeremy and Joe. Beautiful day outside right now. A little chillier than yesterday. We're not going to probably... My car at one point said 82. I think it really didn't get... 75, I think, was the high yesterday.
82 would be crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's the car temp. The car temp, it's always 5 degrees off when you first get in it, at least. I don't know why that is. They can't make a more accurate thermometer in the car yet. Anyways, let's go to the Western Hotline. Let's get the scoop on what's going on at this tournament, some picks, and on the team he covers as well, North Carolina. Isaac Shade from Locked On College Basketball joins us now on the Western Hotline. Isaac, it's Joe in Buffalo. Thanks for taking some time out this morning.
Joe, it's great to be with you, man. A couple things. My heart just leapt in my chest hearing that intro music. I can't, why is it still 3 hours away? Secondly, I live in Southwest Missouri, and we were in the 40s yesterday. Wow. I need to come to balmy Buffalo, New York, it sounds like, and put my swimsuit on.
Well, by the time you get here, because this is how it goes here, it's 75 one day, and there's a snowflake icon on this weekend's weather. So it might turn around quick.
I'll just stay here then. How about that?
Yeah, that works. So before we get to the tournament starting today, the games that have already happened, of course, you also cover the Tar Heels, so this year would have been much more, I'm sure, interesting for you in the first four. Are you ever into the first four, though, if your own team is not involved? Because for me, it's one where I kind of just leave it over here and wait for the first round to actually kick up on Thursday.
Yeah, I'm more the latter there, where it's just it's on. I always have it on because I need to for coverage sake, but unless it's having a blue blood like North Carolina in there, or back in 2021 when UCLA ran all the way to the Final Four out of the first four, right? If it's a program that has some intrigue, usually I'll be dialed in, but not usually at the level I was this year, for sure.
So looking at the first round of the tournament, let's start with the team that you also cover for Locked On Heels. The Tar Heels were definitely a story coming in, just them being in the tournament at all, but then they easily beat San Diego State. And now, Isaac, them being favored as an 11 seed, it's definitely happened before. Not wouldn't happen all the time. So their run here, their last week, do they feel like a team that could kind of have a tournament here that lasts beyond the next 2 days?
They honestly do, Joe. Like, it's kind of crazy to think about. Like you said, in fact, to date, none of the worst-seeded teams are favored. And so to look ahead to tomorrow when these two teams meet up, it's interesting to think about. But Ole Miss is a team that is definitely beatable. They have a balanced scoring attack. They have six players averaging double figures. So that's no pushover. But if they can get past that, Iowa State is probably the next opponent in the second round. And they're going to be without their second leading scorer, Keshawn Gilbert. And then there's also historical precedence. In 12 of the 13 years that we've had the play-in, at least one team has won a second game beyond the play-in game, including that UCLA team I just mentioned, and VCU also going to the Final Four back in 2011.
So do you think that the conferences this year are a little telling of where people should be picking for their brackets? Like, very strong year in the SEC, the ACC with Duke at the top, and then we just talked about North Carolina a little bit. How much has that kind of impacted who you're picking in this tournament, is what the conferences looked like this year versus past years?
You know what's funny, Joe, is you know how the selection committee often talks about literally never do they look at how many actual teams from a conference are getting in? I'm kind of the same in my picks. Like, because when we get to this point in the year, it really is so matchup dependent that I, like, the only time I end up looking at conference affiliation again is when we start to see, like, oh, the big, like, I feel like the Big Ten the past couple years has lost most of their teams that made the tournament in the first or second weekend, with a couple moving on. And so it's really only once we get a whole bunch that start winning or start losing, or when we start looking at, you know, oh man, look at how many SEC teams are in the Sweet 16 or something like that. So I'll check at it there, but never in terms of, like, individual matchups do I allow conference affiliation to define that.
Duke has looked like a juggernaut this year. There is the question, though, of Cooper Flagg's health. Maybe not that he'll play or not, but what version that we'll get of him. Is that going to hold you back at all from thinking that they are at least one of, if not the favorite in the tournament?
Well, Joe, I've got them in the national championship game against Auburn, so if that tells you my answer there. Mm-hmm. No, I do think he's going to be okay. I think they would be very wise to not play him tomorrow. If they can't beat Mount St. Mary's in the first round without Cooper Flagg, they have no business of being a one seed in the first place. And let's be honest, they won the ACC tournament without him. It was in that first game, the first half of their first game against Georgia Tech, that he had that injury. And so thankfully, by the time Sunday rolls around, it will have been 10 days since that happened. What we don't know is if it's high ankle or low ankle sprain. That could be a very major factor in between the, you know, just what version of him. I love how you put that there. We'll be ready to go. The injury a lot of people aren't talking about for Duke is Malik Brown, who once again hurt his shoulder. He's their best interior defender, and so that's a factor as well. But I think Duke is just, I mean, oh, shoot, we don't have Cooper Flagg. Well, I guess we'll just have to rely on our other guy that's going to be a lottery pick this year, Con Knipple, right? And so they've got an embarrassment of riches. They've got phenomenally talented freshmen. They've got upperclassmen that can help bring things along that transferred in. And so I really think this Duke team is going to go on a run here. But if Cooper Flagg is not 80% Cooper Flagg, then I think it'll be a shorter stay than I'm anticipating.
Isaac Shade, on the West Her Hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at Isaac Shade. There's two A's in Isaac, just if you're looking for him. What about
the Bible? It's that spelling.
What about the some of the higher seeds in this tournament? 5-12, is that often where you go? I feel like most people that are picking upsets usually aim for a 12 seed in their brackets.
That's right. Historically, the math says we should pick two 12s over a 5. I've only got one that I'm picking this year, and that's Colorado State over Memphis. Neek Clifford from Colorado State is an absolute dude. He's been on a heater of late. Colorado State has won 10 straight games coming in. When I say Neat Clifford is a dude, I mean like NBA level, this guy will get drafted good. That's what we're talking about. As for Penny Hardaway's Memphis team, they're very good. PJ Haggerty is the third leading scorer in the entire nation, but Tyrese Hunter, their point guard, has been in a boot. We're not sure what his availability will be yet. A trendy 12 over 5 is Will Wade's McNeese team over Clemson. Will Wade, at least until they lose, and then it sounds like he's off to NC State right after that. Good grief. I'm actually not good on that one. Like, roll with Clemson. This is a team that made the Elite Eight last year. They are a solid team. They're not a team that, to me, is rife for a 12-5 upset. So that's one where I'm looking elsewhere. But I am in on Colorado State over Memphis.
What is the highest seed that you could see going like to the Elite Eight, like the really far run? Like, we've had some of these years where you get your Loyola Chicago's and maybe an 11 seed could do it, but more often, what, it's usually like a 5 or a 6 at most that's going like super deep into the tournament.
Yeah, if they weren't in Auburn's side of the bracket, I might say Michigan. They were cold coming into the tournament, but they did just streak to the Big Ten tournament title. So that's a possibility when you're looking at the 5 line. The one I'm going to go with, though, is BYU. BYU is under first-year coach Kevin Smith. They've just got a whole just string of guys that are phenomenal basketball players. Richie Saunders is great. They've got a point guard that is 6'9", and Yegor Demon. That is somebody I was just having a conversation with, like Butler great and you know, over a decade NBA player Gordon Hayward, who was telling me, like, when I watch Yegor Demon play, that's a dude that's going to be in the league for a long, long time. And so BYU is somebody that I already had my eye on even before that conversation. I think they're going to beat VCU. And then I like a matchup with them against Wisconsin. And part of it is not only the teams, but the fact that they're playing in Denver, where BYU is used to that elevation and Wisconsin would not be. Beyond that, they're getting, as they get to the Sweet 16, it's probably a matchup with Alabama that might be without Grant Nelson, who's got a knee injury. So BYU is a team that I'm really watching to maybe make that run all the way to the Elite Eight, as you're talking about.
Isaac Shade from Locked On College Basketball. Be sure to check it out throughout the entire tournament. Lastly, Isaac, what for someone that isn't watching a lot of the regular season in college basketball, do you have a favorite way that people decide their brackets, or a best way maybe that they should if, again, they're not watching every single one of these teams throughout the season?
It's so funny you asked me that, Joe. Literally last night on Twitter, I was joking because I just over-evaluate all this stuff, and I'm so bad at bracket challenges. Like, people are always like, oh, Isaac, will you join our – I'm like, yeah, but you won't see my name anywhere near the top. And so I always think it's funny because the people that end up winning, I always joke, are like the soccer moms or the people picking for their pets or their babies who just go off of color or team mascots. Those are inevitably the people that win every year. So congrats to all of you color and mascot pickers out there.
Well, if it's Grand Canyon in Montana, my kids are going to nail it because that's who they picked this morning.
For the finals?
There you go. Yeah, final. Grand Canyon in Montana.
Wow. Well, you'll be the only one in the country probably.
Yeah, we're going to win.
All right.
That's
Isaac.
Phenomenal.
Awesome. Thanks for hopping on and enjoy the tournament.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great one. Thanks for having me.
Isaac Shade, again, check out Locked On College Basketball. Wherever you get your podcast, we'll have total coverage throughout the entire tourney.
Grand Canyon is the Roadrunners? The Grand Canyon. Did we have that one in our game? We already forgot it.
I think we had it.
The Grizzlies and the Grand Canyon.
Oh, man. They wear purple.
It's not Roadrunners? Who's the Roadrunners?
Here we go. Grand Canyon are the Lopes.
Ah. Okay.
They're officially the Antelopes, but their fans refer to them as the Lopes.
Texas San Antonio is the Roadrunners.
Are they in the tournament?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But that's just, I knew there was a Roadrunners in there somewhere.
All right. Well, go Lopes, I guess. There are 13. And then Montana. Who is Montana?
Grizzlies.
Okay. There are 14. Well, if you get it.
It's gonna
remember it forever.
Hit. I'm putting a dollar on it at FanDuel. Can I? What can I get for the odds? What would that be? That exact matchup.
That's
a dollar
great
on
question.
That. You win a billion.
Oh, look, I'm wondering. I got into this a little bit with Isaac at the top. I was looking at the odds this morning. I've never seen a bigger gap between the one seeds and the rest of them when it comes to like the futures. Like Houston is the fourth of the four one seeds to win the whole thing at plus 600. The next team is Tennessee, who is a two seed, at plus 2200.
Wow.
Like there's a giant drop after the one seeds. And thinking back on recent years, this is usually how I pick my bracket, is I try to find the most likely team in the odds that isn't a one seed, and I never remember there being this big of a gap like there is in this one. So maybe this is your year to pick four one seeds.
Scheduled today again, 12:15 for Creighton and Louisville.
Yep.
Two birds. Blue Jays and Cardinals. Battle of the Birds. 12:15, 12:40, 1:30, 2 o'clock, 2:50, 3:15. Good stuff, good stuff. Kevin Harlan season.
Yeah.
Among others.
He is awesome. Just saw the clip of him calling the Furman-Virginia game from last year, where Virginia throws the ball away for no reason. Stan Van Gundy almost falls out of his chair because the pass was so bad, and then Harlan's going crazy. More Harlan cam. I would watch that. If you got like a little picture-in-picture of Kevin Harlan in the camera.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Stan Van Gundy, sorry.
Stan Van Gundy. Yeah.
Stan Van Gundy and Harlan. And I think there's somebody else there. I don't know who it is. Just out of
No, who is it? I just tweeted out the clip from last year.
Jay Billis? No, it wouldn't be Jay Billis.
I think he's ESPN, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Anyway, it's probably a rules analyst. It was Gene Steratore. I got Gene last night. Gene doesn't miss the play-in games. Gene's there for those.
I was going to say, he's going to be all over our screens today, isn't he?
Oh, yes.
And he's going to be on every different game. He's probably got his own, this is normal, he has his own command center.
Probably. Gene Cam. He was a former college basketball referee. Like he's
right.
Done that.
Should there just be then a Gene Altcast? Watch
yes.
The games with Gene, and he goes game by game every single rules question.
Yeah, we'll do that, and we just won't put him on any of the other broadcasts. I love this idea.
And instead of analyzing the game, like he maybe gives you a little color commentary, like, oh, great call there by 87, the referee.
Well,
on the backcourt really nailed that backcourt violation.
This is where for the tournament, like, what does Gene really need to do to explain the rules? He'll be called upon to say what player the ball went off of 100 times. What do you see, Gene? Like, we all have eyes too. We can see it, right? Anyway, whatever.
Yeah,
Serenity now. All these games. Hey, I saw, and speaking of reviews, an NHL column that yesterday we had the stat for you that there have never been more reviews in hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Also, power plays are plummeting.
Right. Power plays are plummeting, but scoring has remained.
Yes.
Like the
5-on-5 scoring is pretty good.
Right.
But power plays are way down, and reviews are way up. I guess, are reviews up because scoring is up? It's like, is that it's not that bad news because you can only review goals.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe that's why reviews are up.
Man, that could be why. The playoffs are just going to be, and they kind of become this anyway, but I'm wondering if they're just going to get no penalties called at all. And again, that's kind of already the case, but you do get some in the first and second period. And if the rate of power plays is down in the regular season, I don't know. Like, could they just be non-existent completely in the playoffs? Which, like, to me, like, that's a very easy trend that you could bet against in the NHL. Just look at the Winnipeg, number one team in power play this year. Bet on them to lose in the first round because they're not going to get power play opportunities.
Yeah, that's right. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. I was trying to pull up the standings in the NFL in week 15 last year, or week 16 last year. I know what you're asking. Like, why would I do that?
Yeah.
Just to revisit the Lions proposal and the idea of, what if we just gave the home games to the best teams, mm-hmm, instead of, you know, the participation trophy if you won the AFC South.
Thinking what? They, like, they would play it differently down the stretch?
Well,
because they go all out in Week 18, but that's also the bye on the line, not just a home game, right?
I'm not talking about the Bills. I'm talking about everybody.
No, I'm talking about, like, the Lions, what they had, what they were faced with at the end, which was they had to go all, even though their record
was
amazing.
That's right. To get a home game, they had to go all the way.
Right. They had to go all out in Week 18.
It's funny. I never really, I guess I hadn't put together why the Lions, that would have affected them. So I'm just looking at Week 15. And I had somebody, Jonathan has been after me on Twitter, saying that this would eliminate races. It would be boring if you didn't have the division winners get home games. And I think the opposite is true. Because let's just imagine it's alive. In Week 15, after Week 15, the Chiefs have already won the West. The Bills have already won the East. The Steelers are alive. The Texans have already won the South.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ravens, the Broncos, the Chargers, these teams are all still alive.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen now is, sure, Pittsburgh and Baltimore, you'd be saying, well, who's going to win the division because that team gets a home game? This would be the downfall. Pittsburgh and Baltimore's games, their games individually would mean less. But you have a trade-off right here. Houston is 9-5 and has won the South. Their season's over, really. They don't really have to do anything. They were chasing to try and get the difference between the 4 and the 3. But I think we've kind of found out that these teams, when faced with the 4 versus the 3, don't care. It's not that much on the line. I got a home game. I'm locked in. Should the Texans just take 2 weeks off because they're going to win the division?
Yeah.
Do they care about the 4? Do they care about the 3? If they went to the format that the Lions want, the Texans would have to keep playing to hold off Baltimore, Denver, the Chargers. Here you'd have Denver, who, by the way, can't win the division because the Chiefs are 13-1. They're 4 games back. They're playing for a wild card. If they play well enough, they could still play for a home game. They could play to be good enough to not only about home games, but to avoid one of the big 4 in the first round because they become one of the big 4. Right? Think about it that way. Who doesn't want to play the Bills? Go ahead, Pittsburgh. Play to the end of the season. Try to get a home game. That way, you don't have to go to Buffalo in Week 1.
Yeah.
So I don't think you would lose races. I think you would add the home game race. Yeah. What you would do is you would reward the best teams for winning the most games.
Right. Yeah, I don't think you would lose. You would change maybe races more than you would lose them. Right, like as you mentioned, like Baltimore and Pittsburgh might be different.
It would be, you'd still be racing for the division,
but the question would be fighting for something else.
Right, the question would then be, you know, well, if they're both going to host home games, who cares who wins that? The answer is, if you win it, you're the higher seed. Now you host maybe 2 home games. And, you know, there might be years where, well, the AFC North teams are the 3 and the 4. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably imperfect. There's probably going to be a lot of imperfect things when you have the division set up the way that you do. But I don't think that you would lose a race in a way that you think you would. I think you're more likely to add a race. But anyway,
it's amazing that football is going to fix their, if they vote this through, fix, you know, division playoff format before the NHL does.
I don't think they'll fix it. Also, it's worth pointing out
that you don't think it'll pass.
No, not at all. I don't think it'll pass. It's worth pointing out the CFP had this. It lasted 1 year,
and they're going to change it.
Yes, this isn't. No, can't do that. We cannot have a division winner.
Boise State hosting.
Yes,
you know, while Notre Dame is having to play in the first round or whatever it was.
1 year, not good enough. Well, the difference there, of course, is there's such a bigger gap between those teams.
Right,
but it did last 1 year, and they changed it.
But as like the Lions are, I think, getting to here, like they. Right, they're putting it forward because they and the Vikings were the two teams faced with the reality that they could be amazing all year, 14 wins, and then your reward is, because you had another team like that in your division, by happenstance, now you've got to go play on the road at the beginning of the playoffs. This hasn't been on the table before, though, right?
It has. I think it's been suggested. I mean, you have had years where a team with a better record misses the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Patriots had 11 wins and didn't go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because they got squeezed out. You know, sometimes that crosses over AFC to NFC.
That wouldn't be changed here, though.
No.
I don't believe, right? Like, if you could still have a 11-win team
not get in
because an eight win, like if the Texans go 8-9,
they still get to the playoffs. They still get a spot. Yes, they still get a spot. They just don't get a home game.
They have to be the 7.
Yep.
Hmm.
It's interesting. The other rule change, which I think is actually terrible and won't go anywhere, the Lions have suggested not giving an automatic first down on defensive holding penalties.
Right. And then it was pointed out after that they led the league in this.
Yes, in defensive holding, yeah.
Yep.
They want a rule change. It's tough to explain exactly what they want it to be changed to. A dramatic rule change.
Well, they just want it. Isn't what they want. So defensive holding, they want 5-yard penalty. They want the yards to remain the same. You just don't automatically get a first down. So yep. If it's 3rd and 19 and I get called for a 5-yard holding penalty, you don't get first down. You get 3rd and 14 now, I think is what they're going for.
Yes, it would change. That would change things in a big, big way.
Yeah.
Now it's...
Well, because the problem, the Pandora's box that you're opening up there is, if I'm ever faced with a 3rd and long like that, and you play, I'm telling my secondary, you could be way more aggressive with holding, because the worst comes to worst, I'm going to get a 5-yard penalty, we're going to run it back on 3rd and 15 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would do that every time.
If you get beat on 3rd and 14, hold
them.
And try the next rep on 3rd and 9 to have, you know, you're in the right space.
Yeah.
But 3rd and 14 becomes a hold that player down.
Right.
And you don't want that.
Tackle him.
You don't want that. I don't want anything to do with that. That one can go away. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Daniel Jeremiah's latest mock draft is up. Can get you some mocking the mocks or whatever. The names for the Bills, there's a couple. And Daniel Jeremiah's is the name you see as much as any other. We'll get you that along with some more college basketball prep. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply. For three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It's time for college basketball. It's time for college basketball, where points are scored. Two or three. It's time for college basketball on TV right now. It's time for college basketball.
It's bracket time.
Did you pick an upset? If you did, then oh boy, time for the game.
What a banger.
It's up there with Spacho Man.
Oh.
Yeah.
Spacho Man or what was the Brawl song, right?
The Ottawa song.
The Ottawa song.
Yep. Tournament today. True TV, CBS, TNT.
Yes. I actually just retweeted. Jeremy Thiel tweeted out a good graphic for where all of the games are going to be.
Yeah.
And so it like shows like each network and the time slots. So Louisville, Creighton, CBS is the first game. And then the second game, you'll have to find True TV pretty quickly because that Purdue High Point game is on True TV.
Yes.
Which is 12:40.
And TNT and TBS.
Yes.
Am I getting quad box options? I get quad box for football.
I think only if you have the app, yes, right? There's not going to be a cable option for that, I imagine.
Well, I mean, we have YouTube TV, and they offer
YouTube
quad
TV,
box.
I bet you have it.
Yeah, good. Get some quad box action. Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy and Joe, good morning. 803-0550 if you want to pop on with us. Tournament starts today.
The quarterback documentary is back.
Yeah,
for a show.
Goff, Burrow, and Kirk Cousins again, huh?
Cousins again, yes. Which I think it's going to be for last season.
Yes,
because it has to be because it's coming out in July. So this was already happening. Like they had camera crews following these three around, I guess, all season.
So we'll have Goff in a game against the Bills, maybe.
No. This is going to be from last season, I think.
Yeah, the Bills played the Lions last season.
Oh, the Goff. Sorry, you said Goff. I was looking at a picture of Burrow and thought you said Burrow. Yeah. Okay, right.
Goff.
So Goff,
we'll get Burrow and the Bengals trying to run the table and make the playoffs.
Yep.
Goff and then Cousins getting benched?
Cousins getting benched, yeah. And probably a lot of good stuff with Cousins because his season started. I don't know how far back they'll go. Like, will they go back to last offseason? Probably
but
not.
But he couldn't move at the start of the season.
He couldn't move, but even before that, he was kind of blindsided that Atlanta took a quarterback in the top 10.
Yeah.
He went there. Part of that story was he went there because he knew the Vikings were about to draft one. So he's like, all right, I'm going to go over here so I don't have a first-round quarterback looking over my shoulder. And then the team he went to picked a first-round quarterback that was looking over his shoulder the entire time. And now they won't let him out. That's a kind of crazy situation, isn't it? Atlanta paid him huge money.
Huge.
Immediately replaced him, benched him. And now he's like, okay, can I go start somewhere then? They're like, no, you're going to be our backup. They kind of held him hostage, I feel like, over the last 12 months.
If he wanted out, wouldn't they send him somewhere? Couldn't they do that? Or is the money too good that he wouldn't bother?
Well, I mean, the trade you would assume would hold the contract to the next team. I don't know. I mean, the story was that he met with the owner asking to get out, and the owner didn't really appease him at all. And they might still. They might end up trading him. Maybe it's a negotiating tactic. But the report was that the meeting didn't come to like a agreement between the two sides. It was a continuation of Atlanta saying, we're going to do what's best for us. And if they think that's him being the backup quarterback, then they're going to keep him being the backup quarterback. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't think he's a great idea anyway. You're pretty desperate, I think, if you watched him play last year and think, oh, that's our best idea at quarterback. But, you know, the Giants and Steelers might be desperate, so. Maybe all of this is just waiting until Rodgers signs. Which makes it doubly annoying.
Because he's in no rush.
He's in no rush at all, and everything. Russell Wilson, Cleveland today is Wentz is their backup plan to Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson's probably waiting on the Giants. And the Giants are waiting on Rodgers. And Rodgers is waiting on what? The Vikings still, or is he going on another darkness retreat?
You wonder how long to the Steelers. Just saw moments ago a Najee Harris comment in L.A. with the Chargers. We didn't know anything on offense. We didn't have an identity, talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers offense.
Wow.
Najee Harris. And there's, you know, you say what you want about Mike Tomlin, leader of men, great coach, has won a lot, always finds a way to win, loves to punt. Say what you will. There is one note about Tomlin that I don't know what it has to mean, but a guy that has coached that long, not having a coaching tree.
Interesting.
What's his coaching tree? Mike Mularkey? Was he Ken Wisenhunt?
He doesn't get Mularkey, does he? Mularkey is a coach before Tomlin. You're saying coaching off of...
I'm saying there is not really a Mike Tomlin coaching tree.
Yeah.
And
that's interesting.
Strange. Every coach that wins all the time has a tree.
Yeah, Mularkey is off of Cowher.
I mean, the Bills have a tree. A little bit. Ryan Dable got a job. Joe Brady might be about to get one. I don't know if Bobby Babbitt eventually will, or Leslie Frazier again. I mean, he was, you know, before the Bills.
Wow, this is interesting. He doesn't have a single guy. Not one.
When did Tomlin take over? What's his first year?
2007. Is it 2007? 2009, he wins the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So 2007? Yeah, to be a coach for...
Isn't it just
20 years? And
it's really odd.
That is weird. I have never, ever picked up on that. There's not a single guy. I'm reading a story right now that he does. Like, the story from it's just a Steelers blog, Steelers Depot, from January. Mike Tomlin could have a branch on his coaching tree soon. A branch.
Who would it be?
Arthur Smith was the guy they were talking about.
Okay, but Arthur Smith has already been a head coach.
Right. Well, even that, I guess. I guess he hasn't had one of these guys where he brought in who was like a fired head coach and then went off and get another job.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have that. Wow. Well, now, I mean, who's the closest he would get to this? Who's ever been even on the radar? Like, well, isn't who...
Matt Canada was the offensive coordinator forever.
Oh, and he was terrible.
I mean, Dick LeBeau worked there, but that's definitely not like Tomlin's tree.
No, I almost feel like... How long is Dick LeBeau there? And he's old.
Dick LeBeau is most recently there from 2004 to 2014. He predated Tomlin.
Okay, so he only goes five years with him.
Yeah, I'm not prepared to tell you what it means, but it's just once you hear that, you think, that's weird.
Yeah. Well,
you might even say it's a credit to him because, you know, if you want to say it's devil's advocate or whatever, because no one thinks his assistants are all that good, and yet he always finds ways to win.
Yeah. I don't know what that is or what I want to make of it. Like, there's a, I'm having a thought about how they just never feel like they're on the forefront of anything X's and O's related, which maybe is a little bit even what Harris is kind of saying here.
Yeah.
If you want that type of guy, name me a Steelers coach that you feel like fits that bill. It's always more about, at least this is Tomlin's mantra, and I think it's been more of the whole thing, which is CEO type. And culture, and even if that's not 100%, you know, lock solid, versus who's the bright, you know, play caller on either side of the ball that they've had.
Yeah. So I'm looking at some of their previous, like, offensive coordinators. Todd Haley was a head coach. He came to the Steelers after being a head coach.
Yeah.
Bruce Arians. I mean, does Bruce Arians fit this? They hire experienced coaches, so... If you are someone that's going to bring an experienced coach in, that guy might ultimately leave.
Yeah.
But Arians is the Steelers' offensive coordinator. Again, he predates Tomlin, 2007.
Interesting, though, that he doesn't get credit for Arians?
I guess not.
That's his Ken first Wisenhunt. Coordinator for 4 years, and then he ends up becoming the coach two stops later.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of it. Like, he wasn't hired directly from Pittsburgh.
Right.
He was hired from Indy.
Mularkey, these guys predate Tomlin. He goes, Haley, Randy Fickner, Matt Canada. The thing of it is Matt Canada was there for a long time.
And he was bad.
I guess it was only 3 years. Whatever. It's just, it's put it over there as That's odd. You coach for 20 years and your assistants don't get hired.
How does it end with him? Is he just going to be their coach forever? No matter what they do, do they bottom out and then fire him? The Steelers do not fire. The last time they fired a coach was in the 60s.
Yeah. It's a great question. It's a little bit like how all of a sudden the entire national media is writing about the Sabres ownership. That's happened a little bit more. Yeah. Yesterday, Kyle Brandt went in on the Steelers and said, this era for the Steelers is that we can't find a quarterback and our coach can't find the divisional round era. And he's talking about Cam Hayward. Like, Cam Hayward's already on a darkness retreat. He's not won a playoff game since 2017. He and his whole team have been on a darkness retreat for 8 years.
Yeah.
And then John Ledyard followed up by saying the national media is slowly waking up to the reality that's been transpiring for years in Pittsburgh. They're in the good part of purgatory, I guess, because they're good and they're competitive, but it's the same every year. And right now we're sitting here waiting, like, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, draft and a guy 21st.
Well, right, unless it's the draft pick, they're setting themselves up to just be doing this all over again next year.
Right,
they're going to sign Rodgers, and he's going to play 1 year, and then 1 year from now, they're going to be bargain bin shopping again at quarterback.
And part of it is people don't like to talk about tanking, but naturally being bad helps you be good. They drafted Kenny Pickett 20th. He wasn't that good. Now they're about to draft a quarterback 21st. Good luck.
And the Pickett thing, Pickett was, man, there were so many similarities to EJ when the Bills drafted Manuel.
No good quarterback, yeah.
There were no good quarterbacks, and also, I believe the story in Pittsburgh was the same here, that Kevin Colbert, the outgoing GM for Pittsburgh, wanted to give his successor a quarterback in place. So, this is my last draft, let's pick a quarterback. Oh, wait. It was not a great quarterback class. Well, let's do it anyway. And they picked Pickett. Literally EJ Manuel 2.0 with the same trajectory, Buddy Nix on the way out, and how'd it go? It went the way you probably thought it would have, which is you shouldn't have picked a quarterback. It was a bad class.
Extendo Sports coming up, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, tournament coverage as well. Tomorrow, sales live at Wayland. Am I going to stop out there after the show?
I think I'm going to stop by tomorrow. Yeah.
I got somewhere to be afterwards, but I think I'm stopping out there tomorrow. I mean, you know, I look for reasons to go. All right, we'll get a break in and finish up the show before handing off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, I'm looking to find where this rumor came from. One of these NFL aggregator accounts says...
I have all those muted. Well, some of them.
Yeah.
Why, what's the rumor?
Trayvon Walker on the market.
Okay. Has he been good at all? First overall pick, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Yeah, so Black and Teal, Carlos Sanchez, who writes for to cover the Jaguars,
all right.
The website Black and Teal, a lot of trade rumors.
On first look, 10 sacks 2 years ago, 10.5 sacks last year.
Yeah, he's not in the top 25 in pass rush win rate. I immediately checked in to see, okay, who did he sack, right? That's what matters to me.
Right.
Who did you sack? And here's where you get to. In order, he sacked... Tua twice.
Oh, that's not easy.
A Colts quarterback three times. It doesn't matter who that is. That's not that hard. If that's Richardson or if that's Flacco, I think it's Richardson. But four of his sacks came against the Colts. He sacked either Brissett or Drake May. Minnesota, Darnold. One against Stroud. One against Will Levis. So, 10.5 sacks, but not a high pass rush win rate. Pro Football Focus puts him graded among defensive ends as not that good. So, I don't know. Keep an eye on it, I guess. It's not Max Crosby. He's a former number one overall pick, but he does not have the results of some of these other guys.
He's still only 24.
Right. All right. We're back tomorrow for a tournament Friday. Yeah, sure. Tournament Friday. Enjoy the tournament. Have a good time. And, you know... Let's go. Let's get some drama. Let's get some buzzer beaters. We're back tomorrow here on WGR.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.